As we explore the scripture together today, I'm going to ask you to open your ears to the 11th and beginning of the 12th chapters from the book of Hebrews. I'm going to skip around a little bit in the verses here, so the words will be up on the screen. Here's what it says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whosoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, without us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wonder if any of you have had the experience when you've been in the car and maybe you've had a young person in the front seat who's a little on the rambunctious side, or maybe, I doubt any of you have ever had a dog in your car up front, but if hypothetically speaking any of us were to ever have that experience, even a dog might be up front, and between rambunctious knees, between wagging tails, and all the rest, maybe you've experienced that phenomenon where your car gets knocked out of gear, and you think you're about to pull forward or about to back up, and you press the accelerator, and all you hear is vroom, 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 and the car goes nowhere. And then you figure out what's going on, you get it in gear, and then all it takes at that point is just a light touch. You hit the accelerator and you're off. I've been thinking about that type of experience this week as I've pondered and prayed over this passage from Hebrews. And there is a sense in which I think they're connected phenomena. This passage from Hebrews begins with this really pithy definition of faith. It says this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If you're in the market for a tattoo, you could do a lot worse than picking that one. It's a great line that helps us understand the substance of what faith is, but it's really interesting that as the author of Hebrews then moves towards helping us understand that, the illustration does not come through an extended explanation of Trinitarian theology. It doesn't come through any doctrine, really, or doesn't say, and now we'll see our faith fulfilled through the Apostles' Creed or through the Nicene Creed. Instead, what the author of Hebrews does is points our attention to people who have lived out their faith. It's just this constant litany, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's as if the author is saying the best way to understand what faith is to see faith when it is in gear. To see faith when it is in gear, when it's moving forward, when it is showing us what it is through its action. As the Apostle James says, faith without works is dead. And so the lives of faith that are shown help us to see faith in action, faith moving forward, faith in gear. And it's really interesting just how little the author of Hebrews gives us. And really, when you dig up these stories in the scripture, we don't get all that much more, even in their original places. One of the early patriarchs that's mentioned here is Noah. It really gives us a one sentence about Noah. The book of Genesis gives us a few chapters, but even as it gives us those chapters, the whole story of Noah just begins with God's decree about the ark. It tells us that Noah before that had pleased God, but it doesn't tell us how. We don't get any of the context for Noah, what his dreams were, what his frustrations were when people were sinning, why it made him mad. Sometimes if you read a children's book, you'll see all the neighbors coming in and give Noah a hard time while he's building up his ark. You see it vividly displayed with Evan Almighty. But the scripture doesn't give us any of that. And Hebrews gives us even less. Why? Because all those other things are neutral. That's just when things were revving. The book of Hebrews pulls out the story of Noah when it is moving forward, when it is in gear, when he begins to build the ark. Same thing's true with the story of Abraham. We see in Genesis chapter 12, the very first time Abram is even really talked about other than birth orders is when God's speaking to him saying, you got to go from this land to the land that I have promised. And then it says, and Abram went. As the book of Hebrews tells us about Abram's faith, this is all we get. We don't get where Abram used to hang out. We don't get what he liked about Mesopotamia. We don't get what his family relationships were like prior to that moment. What matters is when he starts moving forward. What matters is when he is in gear, when he gets out of neutral. We hear about Rahab here. Rahab says she's a prostitute. There's all kinds of things that could have been shared about her backstory. But all we get about Rahab is that she hosted the spies from Israel and helped them escape through the walls of Jericho, and she was spared as the walls came tumbling down. All the other backstory for her, it's in neutral. It's just sounds. It's not moving forward. You flip the script into the New Testament, it's the same thing over and over again. Mary, so much curiosity about Mary. We've even supplied names to her parents in tradition, but there is no mention of anything in her life really prior to that moment when Gabriel came and said to her, you're going to conceive a child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, let it be with me according to your word to Gabriel. Everything else was neutral. This is when her life got in gear. Peter is the same way. We don't know anything about what Peter's life was like prior to Jesus coming into it. All we know is he was a fisherman. We don't know what his favorite place to fish was in the Sea of Galilee. We don't know what kind of fish he liked to eat. We don't know whether he liked it grilled, blackened, or fried. We don't know any of that. Peter's life came into fullness in that moment when Jesus speaks to him and says, hey, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of people. It's then, by faith, that Peter's life comes alive. By faith, by faith, by faith. All of these other things that are swirling around, it's like being stuck in neutral. The book of Hebrews pulls out these moments when life lurches forward, when things are in gear, when we begin to take flight. I've been in ministry for more than 2 decades. And I want to tell you, there is nothing more beautiful and satisfying than seeing someone maybe who has been stuck in neutral, who hasn't found their way, and then all of a sudden, faith clicks, and a purpose is found. And their life, I'm telling you, when your life begins to hum in gear, it soars, it gets beautiful. It's easy. It's easy to have ourselves knocked out of gear in this life. There are so many distractions. Some of them are fun, but there's so many things that can just pull us our way, pull our attention away, knock us out of gear, and lead us away from a fulfilling life by faith. I want to tell you, I have a strange association with First Cary. I often associate this church with lighthouses. I know that's a little weird. We're really not near the ocean at all. But it's because my family were out at the Outer Banks in the spring of 2022 on spring break for the kids hanging out. We had a friend who was connected to a lighthouse, and she let us go explore the lighthouse some. And so it was soon after coming down from exploring that lighthouse that my phone lit up, and it was the district superintendent. And I did exactly what you all do when I called you. I sent it to voicemail. And then called him back a little bit later. And I can remember sort of pacing in that lot, sort of fresh down from the lighthouse, pacing in that parking lot with the sand and the grass. And he wouldn't tell me where the bishop was wanting to send me, but you know, I was able to ask a couple contextual questions, and it was pretty obvious. So I began to have this association. It's kind of a neat association if you think about it. As we were exploring that lighthouse, we walked up to the top. It was like 220 steps. I'm scared of heights. It's pretty intense up there. And just thinking about, you know, when this lighthouse was built in the late 1800s, there was no automatic light. You had light keepers whose job, they had to get up there to turn on the light, make sure it was functioning properly because lives were on the line. It also made you think a little bit about what it must have been like to be out in the Atlantic Ocean. And you're crossing the ocean and you're not sure how far you are. And what a joy it must have been to see on the distance a light shining. And realize, oh, we're getting close to the shore. To realize, oh, someone's looking out for us. Oh, there might be some dangerous shallow waters here. Let me get my bearings. I think that's a decent metaphor for what is supposed to happen as our lives get energized by faith. God doesn't pour faith into us just so that we can have the warm, glowing feelings of being faithful people. God wants to use us. Lighthouses aren't built so that we can just go and say, ah, that's a nice building. Lighthouses are built to help guide people through shallow waters and help get them to harbors. Cars aren't built to sit in a garage and be looked at. If you've been doing that, let's talk stewardships next month. We can figure something out. Cars are meant to be driven. They're meant to take us somewhere. Cars are meant to be driven. They're meant to take us somewhere. Our life of faith, the reason that God pours faith into us is so that we can be beacons of faith and inspire others by faith. By faith. The advantage that we have of those who have come before us in times before Jesus is that Jesus is the visible God from our invisible faith. He is the visible image of the invisible God. We have been given in Jesus the source and the substance of our faith. It's not about us as we become people of faith. We have the privilege of lifting up the one who is the substance, the source, the model, the truth of our faith. As the book says, Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So my hope is that as we go from this space into the space outside these walls, that we will remember that God has poured faith into us, that we might be beacons of faith, not that people will fall down and look up to us, but that we might help them fall down on their knees and look up to the only one who is worthy of our worship. My hope is that we will leave from here and find ourselves in gear. I wonder, as you look at this story from the book of Hebrews that speaks of all of these different examples of those who've had those pivotal moments where their life has gotten into gear by faith, I wonder what that might look like for you. Wonder what your by faith story might be. Amen.